Chapter 12. Lucy turned onto Carson Street.
"Where are you taking us?"
Seth asked.
"Back to the federal building. You'll be safe there."
"No way. That's where they followed us from. Too many eyes. Anyone could have tipped them off."
Paranoid.
But with his wife and child on the line, she understood. Approved, even. It was that kind of thinking that might save him and June. Instead of going straight toward the federal building, she turned left onto the hot metal bridge. Best to make sure they weren't followed before deciding on a destination.
"June, did you recognize either of the men?"
she asked.
"No."
June stared out the window, her expression empty, distancing herself from the emotions that came with almost being abducted or killed. Lucy had seen it in other victims. A good defense mechanism for the short term, but she knew Nick would argue that it was better to process trauma sooner rather than later.
"Walk me through it. What did you notice? The man's age? Body build? Did he speak to you?"
June shuddered and remained silent. Seth leaned forward between the two seats.
"Stop badgering her. The guy had a visor. There was no way to see his face. He could have been young or old. With all the padding from his jacket, there is no way to know his build. Satisfied?"
Lucy tried another tactic.
"You drove up from DC last night. Did you use your own vehicle? Any chance someone followed?"
"No and no," Seth answered, sounding angry and more than a little frightened.
"I asked a friend to rent a car for us. We met at a crowded bar where she slipped me the keys. We didn't even talk. June left the apartment building through the service entrance, and I picked her up in the alley. It was empty. There was no one watching us, and no one followed."
Lucy glanced away from the road long enough to meet his gaze. He was as confused as she was. He'd played it smart, but not smart enough. She dialed Taylor, the one person who might be smarter than their cyber predators.
"How's Oshiro?"
"Took two bullets. One went through the muscle in his arm, the other hit the side of his vest."
"Two?"
She only heard one shot. Adrenaline did that, dampened sounds.
"He was wearing a vest?"
"Of course he was. This was Oshiro they were talking about. Good thing, too."
"Are you kidding? He probably sleeps in one. Walden says they're waiting for x-rays to see if he cracked a rib, but he's already talking about leaving the hospital and coming back to work."
Oshiro was a lot like her. The idea of lying on a bed in a hospital while others finished the job was intolerable.
"And Walden?"
"Shoulder dislocated, gash on his head that needs stitches. He wanted to leave against medical advice, but I convinced him to stay and let the doctors finish."
"Tell them we don't need walking wounded. Tell them my orders are to stay put until the doctors clear them."
Oshiro wouldn't care what she ordered. He was outside her chain of command. But Walden might listen.
"Anything from witnesses? Maybe video?"
"The locals are asking, but so far nothing useful."
"Ideas on how they found June?"
She put him on speaker and let Seth explain about the precautions he and June had taken on the way up from DC.
"What about passive surveillance?"
Taylor's voice came through the phone. "RFID chips are so small someone could plant one on your coat and you'd never know it was there."
"Do they have the range needed?" Lucy asked.
"No, you're right. But active RFID would. They're slightly larger, need a power source. Or maybe someone planted code on their phones, activated the GPS."
"Are you both carrying phones?"
"We have to for when June goes into labor," Seth answered for both of them. "But I picked up prepaid SIM cards on the way here and swapped out our old ones. Wouldn't that take care of it?"
It was exactly what Lucy would have done, but...
"Taylor?"
"This guy is good, boss. His hack with the medical records was like Mozart brilliant. I'd need the phones to analyze, see if he could have..."
"Toss 'em," Lucy commanded.
"No, boss," Taylor interjected. "Don't toss them. I might be able to get some good data off them. Put them on airplane mode or shut them off. Take the batteries out if you can. Seal them into a Faraday bag."
"Right." one of the special lined bags the cybertechs use to protect confiscated electronics. Where the hell am I going to find a Faraday bag? You're in my car, remember? I have a stash in the back along with a kill box that will give you extra protection. She nodded to Seth in the rear view. He folded down the seat beside him and reached into the back, emerging with a silver-colored padded bag. June dropped her phone into it, and so did Seth. Okay, their phones are secured. What else could they be using to track us? GPS on the cars? A lot of rentals have them now, but Seth's car is still here, and you're in my personal vehicle, so no worries there. What else? You're probably good, except for physical surveillance, of course. There's no one, and we're not taking a direct route. Can I ask, where are you going? She hesitated, not because she didn't trust Taylor, but because, despite his assurances, she didn't trust the technology. I'll call you when we get there. She hung up. Seth turned to her. Then I'll ask, where are we going? Lucy grimaced. It hurt to even think about the one place she'd been avoiding for 59 days. My mother's house.